A Twist of the Knife by Peter James, read by Leighton Pugh. 12 Bolingbroke Avenue. It was a pleasant-looking mock Tudor semi with a cherry tree in the front garden and a stone birdbath. There was nothing immediately evident about the property to suggest a reason for the terror Susan Miller felt every time she saw it. Number 12, white letters on the oak door, a brass knocker, and in the distance the faint sound of the sea. She began to walk up the path, her speed increasing as she came closer, as if drawn by an invisible magnet. Her terror deepening, she reached forward and rang the bell.
"Susan, Susan, darling, it's okay. It's okay."
The dull rasp faded in her ears. Her eyes sprang open. She gulped down air, staring out into the darkness of the bedroom.
"I'm sorry," she whispered hoarsely. "The dream. I had the dream."
Tom settled back down with a grunt of disapproval and was asleep again in moments. Susan lay awake, listening to the steady, endless roar of the traffic on the M6 pouring past Birmingham, an icy fear flooding her veins. She got out of bed and walked over to the window, afraid to go back to sleep. Easing back the edge of a curtain, she stared out into the night. The large illuminated letters advertising IKEA dominated the horizon. The dream was getting more frequent. The first time had been on Christmas Eve some 10 years back, and for a long while it had recurred only very occasionally. Now it was happening every few weeks. After a short while, exhaustion and the cold of the late October air lured her back into bed. She snuggled up against Tom's unyielding body and closed her eyes, knowing the second nightmare that always followed was yet to come, and that she was powerless to resist it. Christmas Eve. Susan arrived home laden with last-minute shopping, including a few silly gifts for Tom to try to make him smile. He rarely smiled these days. His car was in the drive, but when she called out, he did not respond. Puzzled, she went upstairs, calling his name again. Then she opened the bedroom door. As she did so, she heard the creak of springs and the rustle of sheets. Two naked figures writhing on the bed spun in unison towards her. Their shocked faces stared at her as if she were an intruder, had no right to be there, strangers. A woman with long red hair and a grey-haired man, both of them total strangers making love in her bed, in her bedroom, in her house. But instead of confronting them, she backed away, rapidly, confused, feeling as if it were she who was the intruder.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I'm so sorry, I'm..."
Then she woke up. Tom stirred, grunted, then slept on. Susan lay still. God, it was so clear this time. It seemed to be getting more and more vivid lately. She had read an article in a magazine recently about interpreting dreams, and she tried to think what this one might be telling her. Confusion was the theme. She was getting confused easily these days, particularly with regard to time. Often she'd be on the verge of starting some job around the house, then remember that she had already done it, or be about to rush out to the shops to buy something she had just bought. Stress. She had read about the effects of stress in another magazine. She got most of her knowledge from magazines, and that it could cause all kinds of confusion and tricks of the mind. And she knew the source of the stress, too. Mandy, the new secretary at the Walsall branch of the Allied Chester and North East Building Society, where Tom was deputy manager. Tom had told her about Mandy's arrival a year ago, then had never mentioned her since, but she had watched them talking at the annual Christmas party last year, to which spouses and partners were invited. They had talked a damn sight too much for Susan's liking, and they emailed each other a damn sight too much. She'd not been sure what to do. At 32, she had kept her figure through careful eating and regular aerobics, and still looked good. She took care of her short brown hair and paid attention to her makeup and her clothes. There wasn't much else she could do, and confronting Tom without any evidence would have made her look foolish. Besides, she was under doctor's orders to stay calm. She had given up work in order to relax and improve her chances of conceiving the child they'd been trying for these past 5 years. She had to stay calm. Unexpectedly, the solution presented itself when Tom arrived home that evening.
"Promotion," she said, her eyes alight with excitement.
"Yep,